I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to worship the Lord. The Bible even teaches us how to do that, doesn't it? Yes. To worship Him in spirit and truth. I have some things on my heart today that I'd like to share by the help of the Lord, and it's not really the focus, the main part of my message. My thought, but I would like to consider some things, this being honored today as the Resurrection Sunday, remembrance of the day the Lord came out of the grave and rose again. He's the first fruits, the Bible says, of our resurrection. It brings us hope. We're thankful for that. We appreciate everything that Jesus has done for us. We, everyone I know, need His grace and need His strength every day. I was thinking about I was looking at the scriptures where they came and they took Jesus there from the garden. We'll just look at some passages in Mark here, in the book of Mark. In the 14th chapter, when they came to get Jesus, says in verse 48, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are you come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." It wasn't time when he was with them in the temple. It wasn't time for them to take him and crucify him. He still had some work to do. But now it was time. And they came and Judas betrayed him there in the garden. And it says in verse 50, "And they all forsook him and fled." I believe that referring to the disciples that was with Jesus. They forsook him, and it says they fled. "And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." Scripture doesn't say, but I believe the young man that he's referring to is himself. I believe that might have been Mark himself that was there at the time. And it says that he left the linen cloth and he fled from them naked. Jesus was forsaken. Jesus is forsaken today, isn't he? People are forsaking him. I was thinking about folks that I know, many folks that I know, that probably won't even darken the door of a chapel or church building anywhere today, even though it is Easter Sunday. They got other things, other plans, other things to think about and deal with in life, and they don't take the time to stop and consider the beautiful plan of salvation and what Jesus accomplished for them. I'm glad that there's a few of us that want to take the time to remember what Jesus accomplished for us. I want to read a little bit, a couple more verses here. "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." And I'd like for us to consider that afar off for just a few minutes. It says Peter followed him afar off. Peter followed him at a distance. He kept his distance. Whether it was fear of the people, of man, or whatever the reason, he kept his distance, but in his curiosity and his desire to know, and I believe truly that he had a love for the Savior, that he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to know what was happening. And it said he followed afar off or at a distance. I see many people today, don't we, that are following the Lord from a distance? People that hear of him and know of him and even make the proclamation in their own words that they know him and that he's their Savior and all those things, still following him from a distance. Folks, we can't really get to know Jesus from a distance. Jesus is someone that wants to be up personal and close with each and every one of us this morning. He cares about us. He cares what affects us, what touches us in our lives. And he doesn't want you and I to be at a distance with him. And I pray the Lord would help us all to put more effort, more desire, more purpose in our following the Lord, that it won't be from a distance. Some people seem to be satisfied with maybe, as I say it, $2 or $3 worth. But folks, I want to go all in for Jesus. I want to put everything I've got, everything, my mind. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I want to put it all in my effort to please the Lord and to follow him. Peter followed from a distance, and it got him in trouble too, didn't it? It got him in trouble, and he ended up, you all know the story, denying the Lord. But I'd like to skip now into the 15th chapter. And for the sake of the scriptures, I think I'll begin reading in the 33rd verse. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That has to be one of the most sorrowful feelings. It has to be one of the most sorrowful places for anyone to be in to think that God has forsaken them. And yet many today don't even seem to really care. They don't seem to give a whole lot of thought. It doesn't really seem to be that important to them. They got too many other things to deal with in life. But Jesus cried out so they could all hear it and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt forsaken because our Savior was hanging on a cross and he was dying, and he not only was giving his life, but he was bearing your sins and my sins and all the sins of the world, all of it. He had it all. He had it all. God didn't bear any of those sins. His Son did. And he had it all for you and I. And he was feeling the effects of it. And it left him almost in a sorrowful, hopeless state. Although Jesus really wasn't in hopeless in his sacrifice. But it said, and some of the men, some of them that stood by when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. This was his final struggle. His final struggle in the human flesh in this world. And it says, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now I want to tie this in with the first part that we read. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier. It was witness to his heart. He truly recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. And it said there were also women looking on. Where were they? It says they were looking on afar off. They were looking on at a distance, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome. They were watching his final struggle afar off. Jesus had been delivered into the hands of the Roman soldiers. He had been delivered into the hands of the Jews, basically. They wanted him crucified. They cried out that he be crucified. And those that loved him, those that were close to him, they were still following, but they were following from a distance. And I wonder at this time, you know, it had been a while from where we read over there in the 14th chapter where it said, and they all forsook him. Where were the disciples now? As he was taking his dying breath, where were they? How's come it took them so long to get it together? How's come that they were not able to come to the place and watch the Lord and Savior's final struggle and final suffering? Where were the disciples? What were they doing? Shouldn't they have gotten maybe some courage by now? Shouldn't they have gotten enough courage and grace to be able to go and be with Jesus when he was taken? How many people have heard the saying, people don't want to die alone? People don't want to die alone. They want somebody to be there with them. Somebody they love to be there with them. And I'm not saying that Christ died alone, but folks, he didn't have his disciples whom he loved. The very ones that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, had been revealed to them. Where are they? But the Bible here, Mark talks about the women that were there watching afar off from a distance. Disciples knew he was the Savior. They knew he was the one that had come to deliver man. Give his life a sacrifice. Where were they? Were they cowards? They were sunk off into their cowardly places and they had forsaken the Savior. Lord, help you and I today. Lord, help us today. We're tested. We're going to be tried. We're going to be challenged in this God-forsaken world, if I can say it that way. People that are forsaking God. People that are making a mockery of Christianity. A mockery of holy, godly religion in this world. Folks, we're challenged today. How are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to stay by His side? Are we going to be the ones that are found faithful? Are we going to be diligent in our service to the Lord? Afar off. Follow them at a distance. I don't want to follow the Lord at a distance. I want to be up close and personal with the Lord. I want to meet with Him every day. I want to draw grace from His throne every day. I want to draw understanding. I want to draw wisdom. I want to get power from the Lord every day that I can overcome against the enemy of my soul, that I can overcome against principalities and powers and the darkness of this world. I need to be close to the Lord. I'm His child. Children like to be close to mom and daddy. They feel protected there. And that's just where I feel protected. I feel protected with the Lord. Now I'd like to turn over to an account of someone. He wasn't there, as far as I know, to witness the crucifixion and those kind of things, but he was someone that had a desire. I'd like to look at Luke, the book of Luke, in the 19th chapter, and talk about a little fellow that we've all heard about many times. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Publicans were tax collectors. He was a chief among the tax collectors, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before it. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus. He knew his name, didn't he? He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He said he must. God had ordained that his son pass by that way and meet up with Zacchaeus. What I get out of this, folks, when there is a hungry, longing soul that wants to see Jesus, that wants his help and wants his strength and wants a change in their life, Jesus will be there to meet that change. He might have went up in a tree and he might have been, I don't know what, if the tree was full of foliage or what. But I want to tell you, it tells me that Jesus will find us wherever we are. Wherever you and I are on our road to heaven this morning. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your burdens are, whatever your cares are, Jesus will meet you right where you are. He didn't pass right on by. Zacchaeus was wanting something here. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. Lord, help us today to want to see Jesus, not to stay afar off, not to stay back in the shadows, but Zacchaeus wanted to be in a place where Jesus was going to pass by. It paid off too, didn't it? It surely did pay off. And it said he made haste. And he came down and he received him how? Joyfully. Oh, I can only imagine the excitement in the little fella. To know that all this crowd was all around. All these people were looking on. And he wanted to see this man they called Jesus. And Jesus told him, come down because I want to abide this day. I must abide this day. I must come to your house and have dinner with you today. And he came down joyfully. I imagine it was music to his ears, don't you? To hear the words of the Savior say, come down. Make haste. Come down for today. I must abide at thy house. It says he made haste. He came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it. Now here we go. Here's what we got to deal with in this world, isn't it? It's people. We got to deal with people, don't we? You know, the devil loves to work through people. He'll work through the one that you love the most to get to you. But his primary objective is to get to you. His primary objective, if he's using someone that is very close to you, someone that you love dearly, and he's using them to challenge you or disturb you or to cause you trouble in your life, he's doing that to get to you. He's trying to bring you down. He's trying to destroy you. And these people here, they looked upon this and they saw it. It was a good thing, wasn't it? It was a blessed thing to know that it was a man hungering and thirsting and looking for Jesus. And Jesus found him and said, come down, I want to go to your house. But somebody always finds a fault with what people are doing. When they saw it, the people saw it, they murmured saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, yeah, that's what Jesus came for, isn't he? To seek and to save the lost. He came to save the sinner man. Here was a man. Folks, do you remember? Can you still remember? Maybe it hasn't been so long ago since you felt the conviction of God's Spirit upon your heart. Can you remember when God was dealing with your heart? When God was showing you a need that you had? Or a way that you needed to go. Do you remember those convictions, folks? This little fellow, I believe he felt conviction. Because the Lord didn't even say anything to him about his soul. But he made the statement to the Lord. He said, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. Folks, I don't know what that is to you, but to me that's conviction. Here's a man in the presence of God. He wasn't afar off. He was right there with the Savior. And he had conviction upon his heart. And I believe this is the reason why he wanted to see Jesus. I don't know that he ever dreamed in his own mind that he'd get to meet Jesus. But when he got to meet Jesus and Jesus said, come down, I'm going to come to your house. Folks, there's some things that begin to work in this man's heart. And there's some changes that begin to be made in his life because he had conviction upon his heart. Folks, where is the conviction today? Where are people running here and there, to and fro, going to all the different places that they're going to? Where's the conviction today? I pray the Lord will help us to always have the conviction of the Spirit upon our hearts, all of us. A broken and a contrite spirit, he will never refuse. I pray that we'll all keep ourselves presented to the Lord. I pray that we'll always come and be in His presence, that we'll never follow Him afar off, but we'll be in a place where we're able to say, Lord, and say it from the heart, Lord, I want you to show me if there's anything that I need to do. If I've done any wrong, He said, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll repay him fourfold. That was the law. He was just following the law when he said that, the old law. But he was willing to do whatever he had to do. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. Old things pass away. When a conviction of God comes down upon an individual, folks, when someone comes down to an altar of prayer and they get up going, or they come down smiling at an altar of prayer, folks, there's a lack of something there. There's a lack of fear. There's a lack of conviction. We need to come before God with broken hearted. We need to come to God with repentance. And then there'll be a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Some of us have testimonies in here this morning of what our old life used to be. Folks, I couldn't live for the Lord today and live the way that I used to live. There had to be some changes made. There had to be some sins forgiven. There had to be some forgiveness in my life. There had to be some repentance. There had to be some rejection of my old life. There had to be a throwing away of the old life. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord dressed every one of us up, didn't he? Made us new creatures. And I pray as we deal with this world that we live in, the busyness and the things that come and challenge us, the things the enemy brings to present to us to entice us, to cause us to want to do other things. I pray that we'll stay close to the Lord, that we'll not follow afar off, and that we'll always have this conviction. This little fellow had conviction. The Lord didn't say anything. It was the presence of the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord, folks. This man was hungry. He was wanting something. And he said here, and he stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. Folks, when he was down in this place of conviction before God, the things of this world didn't mean very much to him anymore, did they? I'll give half of it to feed the poor. A changed man, a changed life. The changes that we see right here in Zacchaeus is proof of the salvation and the Christian today that is truly living for the Lord. It's proof of his salvation that he was willing to do these things. And it should also demonstrate a change in us when we present ourselves before the Lord. A true change. Some people say they're changed and they're still struggling mightily with the old past, with the old ways.
Folks, when we come and fully present ourselves and consecrate ourselves to the Lord on an altar of prayer, He's going to change us. This man was hungry. This man was thirsting after something. And God confirmed in him, as the scripture says, so great a salvation. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house because he was willing. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, folks, the Easter story is that Jesus suffered. He went to the cross for you and I, but he rose again, folks, and his desire today is to seek and to save those that are lost. And I pray for the church this morning, God's people, folks, that we will all stay humble, that we will all stay pliable, that we will all keep his holy conviction upon our hearts and upon our lives, that we would tremble and fear to do anything that would grieve God. We don't want to grieve God, folks. People are grieving God today. I'll tell you, they're grieving God today. They got their own ideas and their own ways of doing things, and they're grieving God today. May the Lord bless God's people. May the Lord bless the church today. But I want to tell you, Jesus will find you wherever you are. He'll find your professions. He'll find your pretensions. He'll find your excuses. He'll find them. He'll find them wherever you are. He looked up in that tree. Zacchaeus might have thought he'd been up there and out of sight, but Jesus saw him. Amidst all the crowd and all the people, Jesus knew here was a man that was hungry. Here was a man that wanted a change in his heart and in his life. Here was a man that wanted to see me for the right reason. He wasn't following afar off. He wasn't running somewhere else, but he came running right where Jesus was because he wanted to see Jesus. You want to see Jesus? I want to see Jesus, folks. I see enough bad things. I see enough bad things that are going on out there today. I see enough people that are trampling over the blood of Jesus, trampling over his grace, trampling over his mercy today. I see enough of that out there. But I want to see Jesus. Because he's the one that brings the comfort, the peace, and the joy to my soul. He's the one that brings that. This world cannot give it to us, folks. It doesn't have it to offer us. But Jesus comes and bring it, to bring it to our hearts and to our lives. A change. Here was a man that when he got into the presence of the Savior, he became a new creature, didn't he? He became a new creature. Jesus didn't have to say, you gotta do this and you gotta do that, and if you'll repent and if you'll... He began. He already knew there was something wrong inside. He already knew that he'd been cheating people out of money. He already knew that he'd been taking things that didn't belong to him. Folks, sometimes people come along and they get a little pretentious on us, and they act like, you know, everything is hunky-dory and everything's all right, and really they know what they're doing is wrong. And really they know that God is not pleased with their life. Really they know that. But conviction, this is what conviction will do to a soul. This is what conviction will do. And I thank the Lord today for conviction, for the conviction of His Spirit. His conviction is His love and goodness to me. I'd like to look at another individual. Nothing new here. I'd like to look at John, book of John, the 4th chapter, the woman at the well. It says in verse 4, John 4:4, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why is that? See, Jesus finds us right where we are, doesn't he? He must needs. He knew about this woman before he ever got there. It's necessary. It was ordained that he go through Samaria because there was a soul there that was in need and was looking for help. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He knows what our needs are. And he knows how to supply those needs. He knows how to help us. I think about that dear man that was hanging on the cross. He was a thief. He was low life. And he's hanging there on the cross and he's about to die. And the one on the other side rails out at him. But this man, he turns to him and what did he say? It wasn't anything really elaborate. Jesus wasn't waiting for him to confess all of his life and all of his sins and all that. He said, Lord, remember me. If you can't remember anything else, you remember those two words. Lord, remember me. Lord wasn't waiting for anything else. He wasn't waiting for any elaborate confession of any kind. He said today, he saw the heart, folks. He sees each and every one of our hearts this morning. He knows right where you're living, right where you are. All he said, he didn't say, Lord, forgive me. But he said, remember me. And the Lord remembered him, didn't he? Today, thou shalt dwell with me in paradise. Folks, sometimes we think we just, and sometimes it may be good to just confess out everything we need to confess before the Lord if we're carrying a heavy load like that. But this young man, his time was running out. His life was ebbing away. He was hanging on that cross beside the Savior and he said, remember me. Two words when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus just wants to hear us say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Lord, I want you, what does that do? When I ask the Lord to remember me, I'm opening myself up. I'm exposing myself to Him, aren't I? When I say, ask Him to remember me, I want Him to look on me. I want Him to look on my heart, the condition of my heart. Folks, He saw the attitude of that man's heart. He saw the contrition. He didn't have to confess it. We're talking about God here. We're talking about a Savior here. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. A man running out of time, running out of life. And he said, remember me. There's a woman here that Jesus said it must needs be that he go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called by Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well and was about the sixth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sorry, about noontime. 3 o'clock to six is the ninth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. That's what Jesus was there for. That's what Jesus was there for. And he said unto her, give me to drink. Just give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away from the city, unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. How is it? Really brought a question to her mind. Really piqued her curiosity. How is it, knowing that I'm a Samaritan, that you ask me for drink? Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, folks, you know, a good old cold glass of water tastes so good sometimes. When you're really thirsty, a good old cold glass of water tastes so good. But I think of Zacchaeus and this woman right here. They were really thirsty. They were thirsty for more. They didn't have refrigerated water back in these days that I know of. But they were thirsty for a water they didn't even know what it was. But Jesus had it. You ever know, find somebody that got something that you really are looking for, but you didn't know they had it? And it's a surprise to you when you got it? If you would have just asked, he said, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. We know what he's talking about, don't we? that water that wells up from within us, that springs up from our very bosom, that water that brings all the joyousness and the blessings of this great salvation that Jesus came to this world to give you and I, mankind in general. Living water. People enjoy life. They want life. Jesus came to give life. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You know, I find it to be so sad that people even today, as long as the Word of God has been in existence, the Bible, they say, is the best-selling book, biggest-selling book that there is, but people don't know what's in it. People don't understand the depths of it. This woman didn't say, she didn't understand the depths of it. She said, are you greater than our father Abraham, which gave us the well? See, she's still dealing with the natural. She's still dealing with the natural water. Jesus came to bring something so much greater than that. And Zacchaeus was looking for it. He was looking for it. And it seemed like there was something within him that he just felt that if I can get close to this man, if I can get close to this Jesus, that I can get something that my soul desires, that he can reach down to the depths of my troubles and my problems and my guilt and change all of that. And so he did, didn't he? Here's a woman that had needs she didn't even know she had, folks. She didn't even know she had them. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Folks, we're not thirsting for any other water. I've been satisfied with the water that come from the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I'm satisfied with that water. It's pleasing to me. In the midst of the things that, the challenges that I deal with in life, in the midst of the challenges that you deal with in life, the disappointments, the sorrows, people disappoint us, don't they? People have their own minds, their own thoughts, and their own ways. And it seems like today people are so opinionated, they think that you need to think the same way they do. Well, I'd like to get people to think the same way I do. I'd like for them to understand and realize, I know a man. I know a man that has living water. Something that will well up from within us, springing up into everlasting life. Jesus was very plain about it. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Who wouldn't want it? Who wouldn't want it? Let's don't follow afar off, folks. Let's stay right there where the water is, where the water's fine, the living water, that God can refresh you and I every day. We need an everyday refreshing of this living water. Give me this living water, this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Don't even have to come here to draw it. Jesus said he'd give it to us. Did he give you that living water? Did he satiate your thirst and your desire for righteousness? For things that are godly and holy? Did he give you the water that satisfies? That fella down there inside of you? That inner man that you have? Does that water satisfy? Folks, if it's not satisfied, you don't have enough water. Maybe you need to get a little more water. Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband. He got another lesson for her now. Go call your husband and come hither. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband.
For thou hast had five, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Boy, that got our attention, didn't it? What do you know about me? How do you know this about me? And she said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Some, Lord, God's revealed something to you. Because you don't know anything about me. Folks, he finds us, meets us right where we are. He finds us wherever we are. Whether we're up in a tree, whether we're up on the mountain, whether we're down in the valley, he finds us right where we are. And he supplies the needs that we have if we'll stay up close and personal with the Lord. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Lord came to bring salvation to his people. He was rejected and despised of his own people. But thank the Lord, it was more universal than that, wasn't it? It was a salvation that he brought to mankind, to you and I, to the Gentiles, to the Greek, to every one of us that seeks the grace of God, seeks salvation. To everyone that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, he came to bring this for the needs of mankind, for the souls of mankind. The hour cometh and now in when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow, that must have been overwhelming. This woman, I'm out here in the desert by this old well. All I did was come out here and draw water, and I've met the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the scripture says, it must needs be that I go through Samaria. Folks, I can promise you this morning, wherever you are in life, wherever you are with God, he cares about you. He wants to supply every need that you have, every hurt, every heartache, every sorrow. He wants to supply every one that you have. It must needs be. Folks, he will find us and he will bless us. I that speak unto thee and am he. Jesus met her there, supplied the needs that she didn't even realize she had. Folks, there's people out there today, and this really troubles me. There's people out there today that are hurting. They're sorrowful. They're struggling with life. Marriage is falling apart. Children unruly. Children going to detention centers. Children getting in trouble. Our very school system today is full of cancers of sexuality, isn't it? Every time it seems like you hear the news or pick up a newspaper, somebody else, some other teacher is being accused of having sexual relations of some kind with a child. Folks, this world's in trouble. This world has a need. Let us be like Zacchaeus. Let's run to the Savior. Don't get afar off. Don't get out from under his graces. Don't get out from under his wings, folks. We want to be hid in the shadow of his wings. We need his presence every hour. Every hour. We need his grace and his strength. I do. I know I do. I thank the Lord for what he's done for me. I thank the Lord for the change that he's made in my life. Let's turn back one chapter and read another familiar scripture about Nicodemus, the third chapter. About Nicodemus. He came. He was curious. He was hungry for something. And he came to Jesus by night.
And he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't you feel sorry for those that are trying to see something that it's impossible for them to see? Because they haven't had a regeneration? Because they haven't had the living water? Because they haven't been born again? Jesus always teaching these things through the natural, trying to get the spiritual understanding across to these people. And it's so hard to get spiritual understanding to anyone unless they've been born again. They can't see it. The natural man, the scripture says, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. But yet Jesus, and it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Folks, it takes that living water. It takes that living Spirit to change you and I, to make us that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, the scripture says, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe. Old things pass away. Folks, if we're carrying old things around and it hasn't passed away, we got some work to do. We got some things to take care of. Got to get rid of those old things. Those old things are what trouble us. Those old things are what tries to get us down. Those things are what the devil uses to discourage us. Get rid of the old things. How can I do that? Born of the Spirit and of water, entering into the kingdom of God. Jesus does it all. He does all this work for every one of us. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit His Spirit. We've been born of the Spirit this morning. We're enjoying the living water and the blessings of this great salvation. I tell you, I can identify with Zacchaeus. I remember practically running down to that altar down in Laranja 32 years ago almost. I was practically running down there. I couldn't get there fast enough. Zacchaeus, as soon as he had an opportunity to have an audience with the Lord, he began to confess. Lord, I'm going to straighten up my life. The things that I've done is wrong. I'm going to make them right again. Make them right. You know, some people get the idea, I think sometimes, well, I've been saved for 40 years. Folks, that doesn't matter. You're human. You're human. Do you know they tell me that those cruise ships that people go on cruises on, they go into a port, people get off and go see the sights and stuff. While they're in port, there's people put on scuba gear and get down under that ship and start scraping. Because there's things in the sea, the salt water and so forth, barnacles begin to build up on the bottom of the ship. And I read where just about every port that these ships go in, somebody's down there cleaning off the bottom of the ship so it can glide safely, easily through the water. Because those things will hinder us, folks. Those things will hinder faith. Those things will take courage. Take your courage. The disciples, they all forsook him when the soldiers come and took him away. How sad. A sad sight, isn't it? And when these women were looking afar off and watching him take his last breath, where were the men? Where were the disciples? Didn't they have enough courage to get back there? I don't know where they were, but it doesn't say they were there to see it. Lord, help us today, folks. It's important that we keep our lives up daily. Keep those barnacles scrubbed off. Keep those things that would hinder us in our journey. Those, how does that scripture say it? Lay aside every weight. Every weight. Lay it aside. And that sin which so easily besets us. Folks, if you're struggling this morning, if you're struggling with something that the enemy is taking advantage of you with, and it's causing you not to have the joy and the peace and to receive the blessings of that living water that's truly meant for you, you can get victory over that. You can get victory over that. Jesus has victory. He has a place in Him. Maybe I need to be reborn again into the kingdom of God, and I'm not suggesting that. But I'm telling you, when Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus, He said, I have somewhat against you because you've lost your first love. May the Lord help us to keep our love for the Lord. Yeah, they're always cleaning the bottoms of those ships so they move easily through the water. Because that ocean and the things in that ocean has an effect, and things begin to attach itself. So we need to every once in a while get alone with the Lord, every one of us. Get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, has the enemy succeeded in attaching anything here that's hindering my walk, hindering my faith? Oh, folks, I'm so concerned about the faith that we as God's people have today. Has the enemy attached something here that's hindering my faith? That's keeping me from gliding along and enjoying this great salvation that you have so freely purchased and given to me on the cross. The devil, we know he's a wily old foe. And we know that he'll do anything, he's doing anything and everything that he can to discourage, to try to hinder us from making heaven. Folks, I'm desperate. I want to go to heaven by the grace of God. So I've got to continually look inward in my own life, in my own heart, how I'm spending my free time. What am I investing in? How am I dealing with life and things in general? Those things can become very important. But when Zacchaeus found himself in the presence of the Lord, the world didn't mean much to him anymore. Give half of it away. If I can just have that joy and that peace that you've come to bring me, that you've come to give me. I just have to feel like that old chest swelled out. When he walked in his house and Jesus went in there with him, he probably felt like he was on the top of the world. And all these other folks were looking on. And they always finding a fault with him, saying, oh, he's going to have dinner with the sinners. He's going to eat with the sinners. Folks, I'm glad he's willing to eat with the sinners. You and I wouldn't be saved today if he wasn't willing. But he was willing. What did Jesus come to do, folks? You know, the Bible says, and I'm not going to turn to any more scriptures, I don't believe. But it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a common biblical expression used to identify the changes in people's lives. That's what salvation does. Identifies the changes in people's lives. It implies and brings deliverance. Salvation does. Deliverance. Not that I can sin more or less every day, or that I can't get over this old habit that I've got. Deliverance. Jesus came to bring deliverance. It brings preservation, and it brings healing to the soul of man, to the lives of men and women. It brings healing for people that have been struggling. Salvation saves us from the guilt, not only of sin, but the penalty of sin. You know what the penalty is? The penalty's death, isn't it? The penalty of sin is death. Salvation saves us from the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin. It saves us from the habits and dominions of sin in this life and prepares us, supports us, substantiates us that when Jesus comes back again, He will deliver us from this old world and give us that eternal life that He came to give for every man. I thank the Lord for His great salvation today. I'm thankful to know that He is a resurrected Savior. The disciples saw Him go up that day, back up to heaven, and the scripture tells us He's sitting. And I believe it. I believe it. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. What's He doing? Just having lunch with Dad? No, He's making intercession. He still cares, doesn't He? He's still showing His concern. He still sees that we have needs and how weak and feeble that we truly are. Even after He's done all that He's done, He's making intercession for you and I. Don't forget to call on the name of the Lord. Don't forget to call on Him in your time of trouble and time of need, and also when you're not in trouble and you're not in need. Don't forget to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for His love, mercy, and goodness to you. I thank the Lord again this morning for His great salvation, what it means to me. It made a difference in my life. It changed my whole life around. And the hope and the peace and the joy that it brings to me this morning in the midst. Do I get this joy from the world? Do I get this joy from the things that are around me? No, I do not. What does that song say? Peace, not depending on my troubles relenting. Doesn't mean that my troubles are going to just go away. But I got peace in this great salvation. And I thank the Lord for His faithfulness to go all the way to that cross. He told us in one place, He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to pick it back up again. And He picked it back up again, folks. That angel said to those women, why stand you here gazing? No, that was another scripture. They came looking for Jesus in the grave, said, the man that you're looking for, He's not here. He's not here because He is risen. He's a risen Savior today, and I thank the Lord for it. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He has made all the difference in my life, and I thank Him and praise Him for it. Amen.